Good morning. Good morning. Happy Sunday. My name is Lama. All the Sangha and the principal teachers at the center are in Kentucky to hear His Holiness's teaching, so I've been asked to teach today. Now, these offerings right here are from our Tara practice last night, and we left them up so you can benefit from them. Now, we've already started the month of Sakadawa, which is a very holy month. It represents Shakyamuni Buddha's birth, the time when he became enlightened, and the time when he attained parinirvana. It was all in the same time. So it's a very auspicious month. The actual day is Saturday the 25th. So whatever you do during this month is multiplied by millions. So we can start today's discussion group by doing some prostrations to the holy objects. Now, when you do prostrations to the holy objects, because of the power of the objects themselves, the merit that you receive is greater, well, is as great as if you had attained renunciation, wisdom realizing emptiness, which is very, very difficult to attain. So it actually becomes a cause for liberation from samsara, even though we are, could be beginners on the path. And otherwise, the actions that we do, no matter how virtuous, are tainted by a subtle ignorance that believes in the inherent self. And to get rid of that, you have to realize the wisdom of emptiness, which is difficult to attain, as I just said. But this prostrating, even looking with anger at the holy objects, is a lot of merit. So if you're interested, if you can remain seated if you like, but if you could at least stand, that would probably be good. And then I'll lead you in prostrations to the holy objects and to the teachings, which are covered right here above there. That's the Dharma. The stupa is the enlightened mind, and of course the statue is the enlightened body of Buddha.
Multiplied even more, maybe by billions. There's a mantra that multiplies it. Om Namo Manju Shriye, Namo Su Shriye, Namo Uttama Shriye Soha. Om Namo Manju Shriye, Namo Su Shriye, Namo Uttama Shriye Soha. Om Namo Manju Shriye, Namo Su Shriye, Namo Uttama Shriye Soha.
Thank you. So now if you turn to your white prayer book, to the first sheet, first base sheet, and let's chant Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times, and then let's do the four measurables in English three times also. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha taya ta om mune mune Maha Munaya Soha. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Okay. Okay, so today I'd like to talk about and open for discussion a topic that I have used before in the past one time, and it's about Dharma and the workplace. So in the Western society, work often defines us. When you meet someone, you usually want to know, you know, their name, who they are. So that would be their name and what they do for a living, you know, where they live, and so forth. And even in our own minds, we may think of ourselves in this same way. Like, I am a nurse, or I am a computer tech. We sort of think of ourselves in that way. But, you know, just imagine for a moment yourself as in a different role, you know, as a farmer. How would it feel like to be a farmer? A police detective. An astronaut. A doctor. A circus performer. Or a monk or a nun. Maybe you would feel different about yourself or who you are because of that different role. Now, most of us spend a majority of our time in the workplace, or if you're a student, studying. And many of us also, if they're not presently working, perhaps you're trying to take classes or train for a better job. So we come to the center, many of us, to hear the teachings and to meditate, and we take classes and we try to absorb and realize all these teachings. But I know, because I've worked, you know, for over 25 years, that it's really hard to take these teachings back to the workplace in our relationships with our employees or coworkers, our boss. And but unless we bring the Buddha Dharma, unless we bring the Buddhist teachings into that section of our life, then there's a possibility that we may lose the opportunity and the leisure and the advantages of having this precious human life. In the Lines of Experience, Lama Tsongkhapa said, "This opportune physical form is worth more than a wish-granting gem. You only gain its like just once. So hard to get, so easily destroyed. It's like a lightning bolt in the sky. Contemplate this and you will realize all worldly actions are but winnowed chaff, and night and day you must extract some essence from your life. I, the yogi, practice this way. You, wanting liberation, do the same." So the topics that I'd like to, you know, talk about, and I hope you will also share your ideas and your reflections on, are the purpose of work, problems or dissatisfaction at work, and solutions to those problems and the dissatisfaction. So before we start discussion, I thought we could do a short meditation, because unless we have these thoughts and collected these thoughts and ideas in our minds, you know, it's very hard to share. So I don't know if you've ever meditated before, but the most important thing is to have your back straight and try to be relaxed but alert, very comfortable, relaxing all the tensions in your body, your neck and so forth, your jaws. And keep your eyes focused or unfocused, slightly unfocused, down in front of you and not wandering around in the room. And bring your focus to your breath, going in and out of your nostrils. If you hear any noises, then just label it as a noise and bring your focus back to your breath. If thoughts or emotions arise, good or bad, just label it as a thought and let it go like bubbles. And bring your focus back to the ear going in and out of your nostrils. Now this time, shift your focus from your breath to the topics. And if emotions, projects arise, then focus back on your breath again. then when you regain your composure, then go back to thinking about the topic. So the first topic is, what is the purpose of work? Why do you work? The next topic, are you or your coworkers or employees experiencing any problems or dissatisfaction at work? Is there a solution? Is there a way to find satisfaction at work? Okay, now I'd like to invite everyone to do a little sharing. So I want you to actually physically get up and form groups of 2 to 4 people. And I want the group small because I'm only giving you just a few minutes for each of you to share what you think is the purpose of work, just that topic. And make sure that everyone gets a chance to say something. Don't let just one person dominate a conversation. And then be ready to come back and share with the group. So if you could just do that. Now sound the bell when the time is over. Okay, now just remain where you are. In fact, until the very, very end, because we have 2 more discussion topics. So would anyone like to share what you think is the purpose of work? Anyone? Yes, uh-huh. Oh, can you hold on a second? Oops.
I feel like this may have been a waste for you to bring the microphone all the way here, but my answer was money.
Yes.
To make an income to provide for your family.
Okay, to provide for your family. And the reason we have the mic is because unless you use the mic, this session is being streamed, and people who watch cannot hear you. Even if you speak very, very loudly and we can hear clearly, no one can hear it, so it's beneficial to them. Anyone else? Oh.
Yeah, of course, like I think most everyone, we do work so that we can get money, so that we can provide for our families and be able to have the things that we need and stuff. But we also talked about how some of us are motivated for to work for some other reason. to, you know, like we feel like we want to be useful. We want to be helpful. We want to be able to benefit others, and so we find both of those. Money, yes, but for some of us, I know, like for myself, as I was saying, I'm not motivated by money. I like having money, but that's not why I work. Mainly, I mean, if that was the only reason I work, I'd be very, very unhappy. You know, but doing the work that I do, being an educator, that brings me rewards far greater than money. So that, and that's what I work for.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else want to share? Okay, so I'd like to talk about what His Holiness says. He says there's nothing wrong to work simply to make money. Since to survive in a modern industrial society, everyone needs to find their own way of making a living. This attitude toward work as primarily a source of one's livelihood is very realistic, particularly if the individual has family, especially young children to support. There is, in fact, a dimension to work that is noble. When the motivation to make money becomes an end in itself, we lose sight of the very purpose of making money, which is to provide ourselves with the means to accomplish something. The trouble with pursuing money just for the sake of money is that this makes us a victim of greed, never-ending greed. Then we are never satisfied. We become slaves of money. Power based on wealth is artificial and on the surface. People respect the money, not you. When you lose the money, the power and respect vanish. There is an underlying assumption that money can solve all of our problems. If we equate money with happiness, then we become engaged in this continual cycle of wealth creation even after becoming wealthy. One is now a slave to money. To reduce the nagging worry about not having enough money, take just a moment to ask yourself, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? See whether all this money is really necessary, whether the activities are really beneficial. That simple act of reflecting and pausing to consider, to reason, can have an impact. Try to relate money with a healthy perspective. Even if you have less money, you may enjoy a greater sense of well-being with regard to wealth and money, free from the unrealistic expectations about what wealth will provide. And so next topic is problems or dissatisfaction at work. But before we start discussing this, I'd like to read another excerpt from In the Art of Happiness at Work by His Holiness. There will always be problems in life. It is just not possible to go through life without encountering problems. There is no event from which you get 100% satisfaction. Some dissatisfaction will always remain. The better we are able to accept that fact, the better we will be able to cope with life's disappointments. This brings us to the reality that everything is interconnected. If there are certain problems in the workplace, or layoffs, and one is having difficulty finding a job, there are always many factors at play. Maybe some worldwide economic conditions or even some environmental problems may be at the root of the problem. In those cases, it does no good to take things so personally and complain to the company, or perhaps direct anger toward one individual boss. To build contentment, simply reflect on how fortunate you are to have the work, how there are many people unable to get any kind of work. You can think, there are many good things in life, and I still have it better compared to many. This is always the reality. So since you're still with your group, or you can join another group if you like, now let's talk about problems or dissatisfaction in work. And you don't have to talk about the solutions. You can just speak about it, which I'm sure, you know, there might be plenty to say. So I'll sound the bell in about 15 minutes. So if you talk about problems or dissatisfaction you encountered or may be experiencing at work.
Go ahead.
Okay, since I've shortened the time about 5 minutes because I think we're going to run out of time since we have another topic. Would anyone like to share just very briefly a problem at work? Like you could say something simple like, I have a problem with my supervisor or coworker who doesn't understand me or something like that. Would anyone like to just state a problem that they're having? Oh, there's one person in the back with a flat shirt.
Well, one of the issues I'm struggling with is, I'm an instructional assistant at a large, you know, high needs school. So I'm not a certified teacher. And so one of the issues me and other instructional assistants are having there is feeling like we're going in and we're working very, very hard every day, but not really getting necessarily the recognition that the teachers get because they have this certification, and we are often passed over in terms of our thoughts and opinions and feelings, despite the fact that we're in the trenches every day with these children. And then the other thing that I have issues with, and I feel bad about having these issues because I feel that it's ego-based, is because we're instructional assistants, we're paid very little. So we go to work every day, and we work very hard with these children, and then we also take the struggle home because a lot of us are having a hard time making ends meet because we're not paid a lot. You know, my very basic needs are met, but I do have trouble paying my bills. I'm really struggling paying these student loans that I have because I have my degree. Don't have my credential, but I have my degree, and so I have all of these student loans, and I can't pay them. Because of this job that I have where I feel like I'm doing just as much work as the teachers that are making almost double, close to double what I make. But I feel bad that I'm so stuck on the money piece of it. And I want to learn to get past it, but it is so hard when I work so hard every day and then I come home and I struggle in my personal life because I'm trying to make ends meet.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Would anyone else like to share any problems? Oh, someone right there. Sorry. There's someone back there.
kind of jumping on that, we were talking about the difference in, like, yeah, it becomes about the money when you can't make enough, but also, like, the distinctions between, like, who is in charge of whom, you know, and who does the most work for, like, sometimes it seems like you've got more responsibility, sometimes you get a lot more money, but you do a lot less work while you're there, and kind of, like, we're talking about different companies where, sometimes it was very distinct, like who was in charge of who, and it can make the people who are lower down feel just not appreciated, and it can lead to like resentment and a lot of frustration. And then also when you're dealing with also people trying to stay friends with who they're in charge of too, and that sometimes that can be very difficult for people to deal with, and that line that is when you know like Kate was saying, that when someone tries to like tell you what to do suddenly, but then also comment on like your personal life, mm-hmm. Just kind of hard to deal with.
Okay.
We talked about the need not only for a paycheck, but for a sense of validation, and the difficulty of looking for validation externally. Because even when it's provided, we tend to go back to thinking that we're not being appreciated.
Okay. Anyone else like now I have some comments by His Holiness. Here's about difficult people. We have to make a special effort to cultivate good relationships with people at work, get to know the other people, and bring our basic good human qualities to the workplace. That can make a tremendous difference. Then whatever kind of work we do, it can be a source of satisfaction. Then you can look forward to going to work and you're happier there. Even one person can make a big difference. One person can change the atmosphere of the workplace environment. In a situation where there are maybe hostile coworkers or demanding supervisors at work or a tense environment, a wider perspective can sometimes help. Realizing that this person's behavior may have nothing to do with me, there may be other causes for their behavior and not taking it too personally. Their hostile outbursts may actually have more to do with unrelated issues, maybe even problems at work. We sometimes tend to forget these simple truths. And also I should mention that if we are talking about trying to cultivate a deeper compassion for others, that compassion should be unbiased. Ideally, it should be directed toward everyone equally. That's genuine compassion, universal compassion. We're all interdependent. We all depend on one another for our livelihood. No matter what kind of job we have, there are many other co-workers who contribute in their own way to the running of the company that we depend on for our livelihood. Without them, the company simply would not exist, and we would not be able to earn our living. And on cultivating a proper attitude, he says, the attitude toward one's work is most important. It is important to have a sense of self-grounded in reality, an undistorted recognition of one's abilities and characteristics. For example, insisting that one is always right, feeling that the way you look at things is the best way to look at things or the only way to look at things. This kind of attitude may sometimes provide a sense of protection when, in actual fact, it closes the door to any real awareness of one's possible shortcomings. Those with self-confidence have the skills and abilities to back it up, whereas arrogant people are not grounded in reality. They have no valid basis for their inflated opinion of themselves. Humility is a good quality, but low self-esteem will have the negative effect of shutting out any possibility for self-improvement. The tendency of such a person would be to automatically react to with the thought, no, I cannot do this. To overcome that, one should spend time thinking about one's potential simply as a human being. Realizing that all of us have this wonderful human intelligence at our disposal, which we can be used to accomplish many things. If there is injustice, then I think inaction is the wrong response. The Buddhist texts mention what is called misplaced tolerance or misplaced forbearance. The appropriate response really is to actively resist it, to try to change this environment rather than accept it. One should take some action. Of course, it depends on the situation, but perhaps one could speak with the boss, with the management, and try to change these things. And in some cases, one may simply need to quit and to look for another work. And so now we just have a few minutes, and so now let's try to find solutions to those problems and to those satisfactions. So if you can try to make it as quick as possible, even though this is probably the most important part, and then we'll come back and I'll share some advice from His Holiness. So if you could talk about solutions, and you can try to help one another, you know, try to help people, not just, you know, to try to find the solutions themselves or to make, you know, share some advice. Okay. Now, if you could, wouldn't mind sharing some, you know, solutions to this problem, these problems. Anyone have any solutions that they could see steps toward the solution. Oh, thank you. Is there someone?
We were talking about our focus, and I think that being mindful and keeping your we were talking about struggling coming home from work and still thinking about work, mm-hmm. And how to find a solution for that, because that takes a big toll. And I think just keeping your focus on one thing, like reading or exercising, really helps to not make your mind wander back to work, because that's kind of wasted energy, you know, when you have your downtime. So,
thank you.
You were talking about acceptance, and I think a lot of what can lead to acceptance is when people feel as though they've been heard, even if they can't affect the situation. At least if they have the opportunity to talk about what their issues are and truly and genuinely feel that the people around them have heard them, it can help those people accept the situation a little bit more easily.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, Tim is getting his exercise today.
I need it.
Yeah, I was thinking, and we started talking about, because the young lady, what's your name? No, the one behind who, the assistant teacher. Yeah, what was your name again? Shannon? Shannon, yeah. I was thinking about Shannon's situation, and so I was thinking, you know, it's like what Shanta Davis says, that if you can change a situation, right, then change it. And if you can't, then can't worry about that either, right? So always look and see first if I can change it. And so then we were talking, and one of the things you could probably do is get certified. You probably already thought about that, right? Especially if you really love what you're doing, really love where you're working, then that's something that you can do. And so forth. So, but if there's nothing you can do, then I think we have to go to the next step, and that's just we have to leave, right? If the workplace, and we were talking about even in relationships, if it become toxic or caustic, right? Then we just got to go. You know, that's all there is to it, because it's just going to drag us down, and we're just going to be totally unhappy and totally miserable and neurotic and everything else. You know, so, and we're not really going to be, especially when we're working with others, we're not really going to be at our best to be able to work with, you know, to help others. Yeah. So.
Thank you. Oh, right here.
I missed the hand.
Hi. At my workplace, there's oftentimes a large number of tasks or things that come up that just they don't make sense. That's not the most efficient way to do it, or it's just the system, and that's the way it kind of has to happen because the way things are played out. And I know that a lot of times I've kind of spent time, you know, grumbling and complaining and saying, why do I have to do this? This isn't helping anybody. This is making things less efficient. It should be done this way. But what I found is that, you know, when that happens, if I can't change it, you know, if I really can't, then the more I can just embrace it or accept it, I wind up spending a lot less time, you know, trying to avoid it and get around it and figure out different things. If I just, you know, turn that off and say, all right, well, I've got to do it, and then I just get it done, and then it's done. So sometimes if I can't change it, if I just accept it, and the rest of the job's fine, you know, that helps.
Oh, thank you. Oh.
I just wanted to add something to what you just said. That kind of reminded me of like a finger trap, you know, like the Chinese finger trap toys that you put on your fingers. And if you try and pull too hard, you can't get out of it. The only way to get out of it is to push forward, and then it comes off. So, you know, the more you struggle to get away from it, the harder it is. Whereas if you just face it and embrace it, you can probably, finish whatever it is quicker. So.
Thank you. Okay, thank you for sharing. So I'd like to share a few quick points from His Holiness. He says, it's not a problem to have your job simply as a means to make money if you derive satisfaction and fulfillment from other areas of life. Even if it means less pay personally, I think it is better to choose work that is less demanding, that gives you greater freedom, more time to be with your family, or to do other activities, read, engage in cultural activities, or just play. Widen your self-image as a human being with the capacity for friendship, kindness, and unique skills. Look at all the areas of your life and expand your self-identity beyond the workplace. So your self-image is not based primarily on your salary or position or company you work for, but on your core values. Fuse your sense of self with your work, so that there is no separation between your personal life, work life, spiritual life, or home life, so that you don't have to modify your behavior based on where you are. Don't lose sight of what is worthwhile and important in your life. The most important goal is to have a sense of fulfillment. So I'd like to end with a quick meditation. If you could just sit in your meditation posture, you can just keep your back straight and relax but alert. So Venerable Matthieu Ricard said, at some point, we need to sit quietly and think deeply about what we really want to accomplish in life, what really matters in our life. Feel deeply how you really want to spend your life so that after 20 years, you can think back and feel you did your best and think, that's what I wanted to do. And have a sense of fulfillment or accomplishment or of putting forth great effort toward that goal. And the door to satisfaction, Lama Zompa Rinpoche writes, whether you live another hour or another 100 years, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? Thank you very, very much for sharing. I'm sure we all benefit from all your wonderful, important comments. So I thought we could do our dedication prayers, which is in the white prayer book. It's on the first pink sheet. But before we do, I'd like to read the prayer list. Prayers for happy rebirth. All those killed by natural and man-made disasters. All the Tibetans who have been killed or have taken their own lives in the struggle for religious freedom. Venerable Sophia Su, Ruth Appleby, Ron Burroughs, Claire Caruso, Frank Ferreira, Kathleen Fleming, Sam Rainey, Mamie Stark, Chelsea the Cat, Ivy the Dog, Cook the Cat, Oakley the Dog, Job Search, Kim Conway, Daniel Dimitrov, Prayers for Health and Well-Being, Kabje Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Venerable Margaret McAndrew, all those harmed by natural and man-made disasters. For the Tibetan people and for the Chinese authorities, may the nonviolent path lead to full reconciliation and religious freedom. Jim Barnes, Becky, Bobby and Lori, Wayne Brannan, Megan and Marianne Burke, Ron Burroughs family, Victoria Easterday Clark, Gary Goldberg, Mildred Gooch, Herbert Greaves, Scott Griffin and family, Ken and Annie Hassel, Leslie and Joan Inman, Kenny Jackson and Buddy, Helen Kasanoff, Meredith Kilmer, Shanti and Kurt Latimer, Gary Marshall, Aaron Mervin and his family, Shelley Miller, Adrian Oliver, Jay Pandya, Aunt Polly, Chuck and Faye Renard, Carl Rich, Scooby Rodriguez, Dr. Albert Sontz, Rosemary Cease, Barbara Sloan, Maria Stelnaker, David Allen Slanger, Dion Washington, Kathy Wormser, Judith Wormser, Betsy Yap, the Zeta Psi chapter of Pi Kappa Phi at Everett University, Barney the dog, and Loki the cat. If you have any names you'd like to add, would you please say them now? So this is the dedication verses on the pink page. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good, all-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso. Please remain until samsara ends. Savior of the snowland teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies the path that unifies emptiness and compassion, to the lotus in the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama, ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjunath's victorious doctrine, I masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, savior of myself and others, your disciples. Please, please live long. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Thank you. Thank you very much. Hope the rest of your weekend is wonderful.